lost causes, or valuable treasures. What does Jesus see when he looks at a world of sinners? When he looks at you and he looks at me? When he looks at our neighbors, some of whom we detest? What does he see? A lost cause? A deteriorating, smelly, ishy banana that should be thrown in the garbage? Or something that can make some beautiful banana bread? Something that can be redeemed through the atoning sacrifice of God's own Son? Lost causes. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine. Lost causes? What about Adam and Eve? Well, they made their bed, let them sleep in it, huh? Kick them out. Start over, God. They only had one rule. Don't eat the forbidden fruit, and they did it anyway. They don't deserve a second chance. They're a lost, hopeless cause. Throw in the towel, wave the white flag, call it quits. But God doesn't. God approaches them and gives them opportunity for repentance, confession, and absolution. God loves sinners, not sinning. You see the difference? God loves sinners enough to send his only Son to die for them, but God doesn't love sinning. And God will put clothing of animal skins on Adam and Eve. And God will expel them from the garden lest they stay in the garden and they eat every day from the tree of life and they live forever in sin. God forbid. And then God makes a promise already in Genesis. The day is coming when your descendant, Messiah, is going to get his heel bit. But he's going to stomp on the head of that snake and destroy sin and death forever. That was a prophecy announcing, that God was going to bring redemption through the cross, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because you see, when Jesus looks at sinners, he doesn't see a lost cause. He sees a treasure. He sees a valuable. And when something is of value, you hold it. You safeguard it. You don't just place a newborn baby in the hands of anybody unless you know that this one will in fact love your child as much as you do. You see? God treasures you. You're not a lost cause. What about Moses? He was a murderer. He had to flee for his life. And when God called him in the burning bush, he had one excuse after another. Did God give up on Moses? No. What about King David? Committed adultery. And then when he couldn't cover it up, he plotted the murder of Uriah. And yet, God, through the prophet Nathan, said, "The Lord has put away your sin." With repentance comes forgiveness. God puts away our sin. This coming week, I get to go over to Bob and Marcia's house on Wednesday. And one of my favorite books in the Bible, Jonah. You talk about a lost cause. I get to lead the women of Zumbro Lutheran in a Bible study this coming Wednesday on Jonah. Jonah hated the Ninevites. They were ruthless. They were wicked. They were brutal. They didn't deserve mercy. They deserved hell. And God calls Jonah to go there and to speak a word to them, God's word to them. And Jonah jumps on a ship and he goes the other direction. Does God give up on Jonah? No, he meets him on the water and he appoints this big fish to swallow him, where he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Jonah isn't a lost cause to God. And neither is Nineveh. They repent from the king to the beast with sackcloth and ashes, and God changes his mind and doesn't destroy the people. Because God is able to see a treasure worth redeeming, not a lost cause. And what about Paul? The one, according to our text for today, calls himself the foremost of sinners, chief of sinners though I be. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul says, "Last of all, Christ appeared to me, but I'm not fit to be an apostle. I'm worthless because I persecuted the church of Christ. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and God's grace to me has not been in vain. In fact, I worked harder than all the rest. But in truth, it wasn't me. It was God's grace at work within me. So whether it was me or they, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the word got proclaimed and you believed." You see? We are not lost causes. But there might be some that we would choose to write off. We have people of the world that want to categorize people and say, "Don't let the refugees or the immigrants in, build a wall." We have others that want to simply categorize people and say, "They are a basket of deplorables." And if you don't agree with their assessment, then you get labeled as homophobic and sexist and racist and Islamophobic, etc. What in the world is going on? Lost people matter to God. They should matter to us too. Scripture tells us, Luke 15, there are no lost causes. When it's God's cause, God's mission of redemption for the world. Why do you think that there's so many Muslims in the United States and in Minnesota and in Rochester? I know why. We didn't take Jesus to them, so God brought them to us to hear about Jesus. Lost people need to be found. Dead people need to be made alive. Right? Look at our gospel reading for tonight. Did you see how it begins? It begins with these words. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all coming to Jesus. I mean, he set his face toward Jerusalem. He's got some hard words to speak, and yet all of these sinners are just like a magnet. Right? They're just being drawn to him. That's good news, right? People come, they want to hear about Jesus, from Jesus, the gospel of grace and mercy. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they start to grumble and they're upset. Wait a minute, we've got to have some boundaries here. We can't just let everybody get the gospel. I mean, there's some people that don't deserve to be saved, right? Like those wicked Ninevites. Or like that son of a gun who 27 years ago took a little innocent boy and sexually violated him and murdered him? You want second chances for somebody like that? You want mercy for someone like that? You see? There are people that we want to write off, isn't there? And Jesus sees what's happening because there's an accusation, there's a complaint. This man does what? He welcomes and receives sinners. And what's even worse, he eats with them. Every week, he welcomes and receives sinners. And he eats with them. Who does that? Well, somebody who doesn't see lost causes, but sees valuables. and treasures, right? So Jesus has a couple of parables. He says, what do you think? Somebody's got 100 sheep, they got 99, and there's one that's straying? Write it off, right? No, never. A woman has 10 coins, she loses one. What does she do? Write it off? No, never. A father has two sons, and one shames him, humiliates him, goes off into the far country. What do you do? Well, any sensible dad would say, he made his bed, let him sleep in it. If he comes crawling home, I might give him a place in the bunkhouse. But that's not God. That's not the God who proves his love for us by giving his son Jesus to die for our sins. Because he treasures you. Because you're valuable to him. You're that pearl of great price. You're the treasure hidden in the field. And he will do everything. He will give everything. He will suffer everything because he wants to save all and redeem what is lost and find and bring home that which is held captive to sin and death. There's a man named Bill. Bill lost his beloved grandma, 78 years old. Now, I grew up with a grandma that I was really close to, and I watch my kids, you know, building a relationship with grandma, right? Some of you know if you're grandmas, you know what I'm talking about. So this is what was hard for Bill. It wasn't just that he lost his grandma, it was how she died. A group of teenage girls led by a 15-year-old, she was the head of this gang, they came into Bill's grandmother's house to rob her, to steal from her, but it wasn't enough just to steal from her. They started beating her up and kicking her and laughing and thinking this was really funny. And eventually she bled so much that she bled to death. And so the one that was the ringleader, this 15-year-old girl, she was tried as an adult on death row. And Bill said, what do you do with a lost cause? You know what he did? He prayed and prayed because his grandmother was a strong believer in Jesus and in the grace of God. He said, I started praying and I started realizing, what would grandma be doing right now? She would want this 15-year-old girl whose parents didn't even come to her sentencing, who was repeatedly abused while she was growing up by her own family. Grandma would want this lost soul to hear the gospel. And through prayer and through church, eventually Bill's heart was changed. And he wrote a letter to this girl on death row. And eventually it became a correspondence of 400 letters back and forth. And he visited her 10 times. And eventually her sentence was changed from death row to 60 years. Does someone deserve a break like that? Or do we just write them off as a bad debt? There's a story about a nurse by the name of Susan Kidd. She was working at a hospital. She went to room 712 because there was a man who was restless. He had been admitted. His name was Mr. Williams, and he'd had a terrible heart attack. She went in there, the first thing that he said to her was, oh, I thought it was my daughter. When the door opened, he got excited and then realized that it was just the nurse. He said, I need you to call my daughter. He was really anxious. He said, you need to call my daughter Janie and tell her that I've had a heart attack. I'm here at the hospital. I need to see her. And the nurse said, I'll do that. He said, before you go, give me some paper and a pen. I need to write something down. So she did. She went out. She called Janie. Janie on the phone said, you said my dad's at the hospital? He's had a heart attack? Is he going to be okay? Please tell me he hasn't died. She said, my dad and I haven't talked for over a year. The last thing was an argument, a big blow-up because of a boyfriend I had, and I told my dad where he could go. And I said to my dad, I hate you and I'll never love you. Those were the last words I said to my dad. Don't tell me my dad is gone. And Sue Kidd, the nurse, said, no, your dad, he's in intensive care. But he wants you to come right now to see him. And so she did. And while Janie was going to the hospital, this nurse, Susan Kidd, she went down to check on Mr. Williams. And when she entered the room, he was unconscious. He was in the process, of having had a second major heart attack. She coded it. They tried to do CPR. They tried to bring him back. And he died there in his room. And then as nurse Susan Kidd is going out of the room, she sees out in the lobby a young girl crying that is being told by the doctor that her father, Mr. Williams, has died. And she's just weeping. Janie is weeping. She asks the nurse if she can go in and see her father. She goes into the room and she's just crying. She said, I really did love him. I didn't hate him. He was gone. And it now was hopeless, a lost cause. Except, by the grace of God, remember that piece of paper and pen he asked for? While the nurse was out making the phone call, he had written a note, and Sue Monk saw that, and she grabbed the note and looked at it. She said, Janie, you need to read this. And she did. And it said, Dear Janie, I forgive you. And I hope and pray that you forgive me too. I know that you love me. And you need to know that I love you too. With all my heart. Love, Daddy. Lost causes? Or redemption through the blood of Jesus, which makes you and me the treasured people of God. So valuable. You see what Jesus sees? He doesn't just see sinners. He sees treasures. A pearl of great price. He sees something that's valuable. Jesus is the good shepherd that goes out after that one straying lamb, even if he has to go over after that lamb 100 times. Jesus is the woman, even though this coin from this maybe wedding headdress keeps falling out, and he says, I'll sweep that dirt floor until I find it. And Jesus is the Father who every day is looking as far as the eye can see, way in the distance. And when he sees that rebel of a son coming home, the one who ashamed him, he pulls his robe up so he can run. He shows those legs of his. He bears the shame publicly. And he goes out there and doesn't even let his boy finish his confession. It ends with the word son. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And that's where it stops. You're right, son. You're my son. And he says, somebody get the family credit card, the signet ring. Somebody get some sandals because slaves don't wear shoes, but sons and daughters do. Somebody go get the robe, one of the finest. And then do you know what this waiting father does? This pursuing Jesus who is always seeking the lost because no one's a lost cause to Jesus? This is what the father does. He says, hey, everybody, I got some good news. My son's home. The boy's back. I'm not kidding you. This isn't a joke. He's back. And we're going to have a party. I'm not talking about a potluck. Everything's going to be provided. Bring your dancing shoes. We're going to be dancing until dawn. The boy is home. The lost has been found. The dead is alive. I got my lamb back. I got my coin back. I got my son back. You are going to be eating beef brisket until it's coming out of your nose. The fatted calf is being slaughtered even as we speak. Rejoice with me. The angels are rejoicing. God cares about the lost. I sure hope His people care about the lost being found and doing everything we can to bring prodigal sons and daughters back home to the family to hear the good news. Oh, you are so treasured. You are so valuable. And when you know it, you keep it. You safeguard it. And you rejoice. This man, my Lord and Savior Jesus, He welcomes sinners. And I qualify. And you qualify. He even eats with them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able.